Me and Westy don't talk all that much over text. But I watched it in like four sittings yesterday. Like I kept having to stop. At 3:02, we start right here. Rewatching BVS. My Lord, nothing makes any sense. That's at 3:02. These are the ongoing texts. This is throughout the day.
Holy smokes.
this is all
Batman.
All Batman, Superman related.
What we should do is just read those texts, and then that'll just be the episode. You can read Westy's, and I'll read yours, and then we'll just call it a day. Happy New Year. It's Movies On Up. Nuclear power in the best hands, it's dangerous. In the hands of Lex Luthor, it's pure evil. This is Superman's greatest battle, and it is for all of us. That is the tagline for this week. This is my co-host for this year and all years past, Mr. Dave Becella.
That is me.
That's Mr. Dave,
the Superman to my Lex Luthor.
Absolutely. I'm just glad you didn't call me Supergirl. That's Dave. I'm Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Our tagline this week is from a Superman movie, Nuclear Power. In the best hands, it's dangerous. In the hands of Lex Luthor, it's pure evil, blah, 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 blah. If you can figure out which of the Superman movies that's from, it's the fourth. Send your guess to us in one of the three following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guess at us, @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we choose you, it will be our quest to send you a wonderful Movies On Up prize package. The first Movies On Up prize package of 2017, the year of our Lord.
Yeah.
We thought we'd kick off 2017 with a bang. Kind of go against type, generally speaking.
Usually first episode of the year. It's consistent.
Yeah, it's the best movies that we saw in the last year. Dave and I kind of take off the month of December to ostensibly hang out with family, but what it really is just watch a ton of movies and not have to see each other. So usually by the time we get back at the first of the year, we're so excited to talk about all the great stuff we saw over what we call our vacation. But we're not going to do that this week. Usually we don't go negative. There may be a movie that we talk about that one of us may not like or actively hates. Chronicle, I'm looking at you.
Or that neither of us like. Pitch Black.
Yeah, I guess that's true, but it's rare. There usually is a silver lining of likability somewhere in any given discussion. Not so much here. We're going to kick off 2017 with the worst movie of 2016, and we have decided...
With an asterisk.
With an asterisk, which we'll explain in a minute. We have decided that worst movie, with a bullet, with a speeding bullet, is Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Zack Snyder's epic, starring Ben Affleck, Henry Cavill, Jesse Eisenberg. I don't mean to actually say that this is the worst movie of the year. I don't think really either of us do. Nine Lives came out last year, so let's try and keep things into perspective. There were plenty of movies that were...
Ben-Hur remake.
Right. Plenty of movies that were even reviewed worse than this one was. Some of which I saw, not many, but few had the budget and expectations that Batman versus Superman had. Hell, Will Smith tried to stay alive against a horde of vampires to see this movie. And I'm sure when I Am Legend ended up seeing this movie, he was probably waiting for that sweet, sweet release of death.
He was jealous of his dog.
Absolutely. Oh, that's the first cringeworthy moment of the year. Batman vs. Superman had a $250 million production budget, which is actually not the most expensive movie ever made. That was, I think, Stranger Tide, one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, had a higher production budget. But you add in about another 150 in other assorted advertising, stuff like that, you have about a total budget of $400 million for this movie. Spoiler alert, it did not make that much. So we're saying that compared with how kind of crappy the movie actually turned out to be and what a disappointment it was from a box office standpoint, that this is certainly the biggest disappointment of the year. Is that fair?
I have five children. Four of them have Batman-related names, whether it be their first name or their middle name.
Their names are Batman.
Yes.
Batman.
They're related to Batman and people involved with Batman.
The youngest is named Superman.
Well, not anymore. I changed it after March. So, I mean, I love Batman. I love comic book movies. I love Batman specifically. I'm not a Superman fan. But it should be impossible to make a movie with Batman and Superman in it and make it terrible. It should be absolutely impossible. You have so much source material. You have so much awesome stuff to work with. It should not be possible. But he pulled it off.
Although, it wasn't immediately known that he did. I remember when this movie came out, I think your spider sense was going off because it was Zack Snyder.
I hate Zack Snyder.
I was trying to give him some credit on the previous Superman movie. I thought, you know, the trailers, I thought they looked kind of cool. I thought maybe this will be what actually redeems the franchise. And it did not. So for him to be put in charge of this, I think the warning signs were there. But certainly the movie opened well. It opened number one, March 25th, with $166 million, beating Zootopia in its fourth week. Number three that week was My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2, Electric Boogaloo, whatever that was. Miracles from Heaven and the Divergent series Allegiant round out your heavy-hitting top five of that week. One of those movies was halfway decent. Batman,
Zootopia was
Zootopia. That's the one I mean. Batman vs. Superman went on to gross $330 million domestically, which puts it in the top 50, 46th on the all-time domestic list. One spot below a movie. This is Batman vs. Superman, the two headliners for DC. One spot below a team of C-level Marvel characters at best.
Guardians
of the Galaxy, and one spot above a movie that my sister still thinks is a documentary due to the presence of several themed seafood restaurants scattered at popular vacation destinations across the U.S. It is Forrest Gump, the documentary Forrest Gump. In 48th place, so just one spot below Forrest Gump, with $325 million, you find DC's second entry of last year, Suicide Squad. Which was supposed to be the movie that redeemed DC as a franchise, and it did even worse.
Not counting Man of Steel. Technically, Man of Steel was the first one.
Yes.
But that was a standalone Superman movie.
Right.
Batman vs. Superman is, you're throwing all the chips in, you're setting up Justice League. So, technically, that kicks off the DCU. They call it the DCEU, but whatever, that's stupid. It's the DCU.
It's the DCU.
Yeah. You're looking at the second movie with hopes to redeem it.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie you need to redeem this entire franchise you've built around the first movie.
It's like, Dave and I are both football fans. We like different teams. So we'll use my team because the analogy is better. First game of the season, you know, hopes are at their highest. Batman versus Superman is like getting your quarterback sacked in the end zone, strip fumble, the other team scores, and your guy is out for the year. All right, second drive of the year. We're only down 7 points. It can only get better from here, right?
Pick six.
Yeah, pick six. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what we were looking at after Suicide Squad. Batman versus Superman, you're putting together the two biggest, basically heaviest hitters DC has. It is the third highest grossing Batman movie behind the last two movies in the Nolan run.
Which are in top 10, correct?
Yes.
Both of them are in the top 10 with just Batman.
Right. About $148 million behind The Dark Knight Rises and $203 million behind Dark Knight.
Just Batman.
Yes,
Superman.
Just Batman.
No Superman in those movies.
No Wonder Woman either.
No Flash cameo.
No. Adjusted for inflation, it is sixth behind The Dark Knight, Tim Burton's Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, Batman Forever, and Batman Returns. That, to me, is the telling.
So it beats Batman and Robin.
Yes. It beats very little. It beats Batman Begins. There may have been another one. I'm not sure.
66.
You take away all those, you know, all the IMAX, all the 3D stuff, and we're looking at something that, among Batman movies, is one of the worst.
It's the only one with Superman not in the top five.
Yeah, it's the only one with Superman. It's not in the top five of Batman movies. Now, it is the highest grossing Superman movie, however, beating Snyder's Man of Steel by $39 million. Adjusted for inflation, it is third behind the first two of the Reeve run. So I think it's fair to say that this iteration of Superman is the second most well-loved, but it really means it's maybe the least hated.
I still would watch Singers over Man of Steel, though.
I like Brandon Routh. I don't much like Henry Cavill.
Oh, I can't stand
it. I like Brandon Routh. I think he deserved better. But I digress. As far as the Batman goes, I really just think the stink of Snyder and Superman got a hold of this and sort of ruined Batman. But before we get too sucked down in, what was that, from Neverending Story, the Swamps of Sadness? What was that? That ate the horse?
I don't remember.
It was something. Before we go down like the horse, let's focus on the good. And it won't take that long. The way I see it, there are about two good things in this movie. And I think Dave has two as well.
I have exactly two.
One of which I feel pretty strongly we're going to agree on. I'm going to lead off with the first one, which we may not. I think Affleck is a pretty decent Batman.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
Affleck is not bad in this movie. But this is not my Batman. This is not Batman.
It is certainly a different take on Batman than we've seen in movies.
What Affleck does is good. I don't think he's the weak point of this movie by any means. He did well enough that I am interested in an Affleck
the
Batman
standalone
movie.
Yeah.
But I can't give him too much credit in this movie because I don't care about this Batman that he's doing. Not by any fault of his.
Was this the Frank Miller Batman?
This is the Zack Snyder Batman.
Well, I mean, as far as like what they based it on, was it not like that run where it's an older, more grizzled, I'm getting too old for this shit kind of
it's
Batman?
It's similar to The Dark Knight Returns, where he's been around for 20-some years and, you know, he's graying, he's older. It's loosely based on that, but like Batman's big thing is he's not into guns. Batman's just shooting dudes all over the place. The branding, I'll give you that. If you want to add that wrinkle to him to where he's so grizzled and now he's just branding people, I can maybe get past that.
Sooner than shooting people.
Yeah, but he's just shooting dudes and he has weapons. He has guns on his vehicles. Like,
he's had that before.
Not like this. I don't like this Batman. Not by any fault of Affleck. I hate this Bruce Wayne.
His Bruce Wayne was not very good. I think of Bruce Wayne as like a socialite and a playboy. And Affleck was not that in this movie. And perhaps, again, his Bruce Wayne was too old for this shit. But I thought as Batman, whether or not you like the source material, and if we're going to call it source material, that's not my Batman either. But I thought it was cool. And so many times we get characters rebooted, which is what happened here. It's not the same Batman from the Nolan universe. It's certainly not the Michael Keaton Batman. But we get stuff rebooted, and it's, okay, well, here's Spider-Man. It's still Peter Parker, and he's still like a nerdy high school kid, whatever. And they just keep rebooting with the same stuff. This is different. This is a different character. He's in a different point in his career, and I will at least give the movie credit for that and Affleck for bringing something different to the role of Batman.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback that into my first thing that I think is great about this movie.
Okay. Great?
Huh?
Great? You want to go so far as to say great?
What?
In this movie. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. I think my two points, right. I think, are both great. Okay. I think both of my positives are really, really great. I hate the very, very beginning of this movie. We don't need to see Batman's origin. We don't. It's been done so many times. There's no need to get Lauren Cohen and Negan in there for 3 minutes.
What's that, Negan, too?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, we don't need to see that. But where this movie excels and where Bruce Wayne is Bruce Wayne is in the sequence that's the end of Man of Steel from Bruce Wayne's perspective.
Right.
The
Zod. That is cool.
Zod and Superman fighting. Metropolis getting torn to bits, buildings falling, people dying, Bruce Wayne rushing to Wayne Tower to save his people, the building falling, the rubble coming, Bruce Wayne running into the dust. That is great. Affleck excels in that part. The intensity he brings, the determination he has to get there, even the saving the little girl and asking her where her mom is, and she just points at this building that's now collapsed. I think that is great. I want that Bruce Wayne, I want that Batman And that's what I got. And my hopes were kind of up after that. I feel like
that was throwing a touchdown on your first play from scrimmage and not scoring again for about three games.
That should have been at the very beginning, though. Yeah. Like, I do away with the Batman origin and just pick up exactly at the end of Man of Steel and suck me in that way. Because you're not going to suck me in with Batman's origin because I know it so well, especially the way it was done. I hate Snyder's non-linear. It just doesn't make sense to me how he does it. It's all style, and there's no sub. It gains nothing how he does it. If you kick off with that opening, that Bruce Wayne, that hero, I am 100% on board with that.
It was a great way to introduce Bruce Wayne.
And introduce Affleck.
Yeah, introduce Batman into a Superman story, and to set up why he thinks that Superman is such a menace. From a storytelling standpoint, that's one of the very few salient moments in the movie.
If they capitalized on it, yes, but it's not really built on.
As a moment?
It's a moment. It's fantastic.
Yes, it doesn't. It's not built upon.
It doesn't
upon,
build up
No, it doesn't
anything.
Go anywhere, really, but as a moment.
It's a great moment that sets up to where you can go. They just don't.
Yeah, I think the second thing, and maybe I'm just projecting here, but I actually did think that Gal Gadot was a rather large surprise for me. I actually thought she was really good in the relatively little time she had on screen. I think she did seem almost like royalty playing Diana and was much more the socialite than Affleck's Bruce Wayne was. And I thought her scenes as Wonder Woman were equally as good. She actually seemed to be enjoying fighting Doomsday, which brought a little bit of life to that final sequence.
That smirk she has the first time she goes after him is good. She's really good as Wonder Woman. I think what is great, the Wonder Woman score is fantastic. Hans Zimmer's Wonder Woman score is great. The first Tim Burton Batman, there's this Batman theme.
Yeah.
You think the Superman, the Christopher Reeves ones, you have this Superman theme. That's what she gets in this. She gets this theme that feels iconic the first time you hear it. And, you know, maybe I'm attaching it to her. Maybe it's not meant to be.
No, it is her. That is. You're right. I think it stands out in this movie, and I'll get to it, because the rest of the score is hot garbage. You're right. This does give her, like, a calling card, and it's repeated a couple times throughout that. And it's only through the last battle. That
you hear it in the beginning when he's first, or not in the beginning, but when he's first looking into her. You hear it then, but then, like, it's really prominent. Yeah.
Right. That does kind of help her stand out. To me, it sounds like he's sampling Led Zeppelin. By the time we get to that point in the movie, I've hated the score so much that there's very little he can do. But you're right. It does stick out. I don't know if Batman has, like, a melody in this movie. I don't know if Superman does. I do know Wonder Woman does, which is interesting, but I think he failed to capitalize on having three heroes in this. You could have had three voices in the score, but you don't. You have garbage, drunk guy yelling outside on the sidewalk in front of your apartment building for the entire movie, and then, like, one guy way two blocks down, like, playing a trumpet or something. You're like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. But the rest of this is incoherent hot garbage.
So that's what I liked about the movie. Out of 2.5 hours, I liked about 3 minutes of it.
Fair enough. As much as I did enjoy the Batman and the Wonder Woman, I think Henry Cavill is awful as Superman. Really, my problem is with him more as his Clark Kent. He actually has two separate characters to play. And if you look at what Chris Reeve did with Clark Kent, he played the guy like a nerd.
Oh, yeah.
He had meek speech. His posture was hunched over. Cavill basically
just
trades
a handsome dude.
His cape for glasses, and, well, that's it. Now I'm Clark Kent, and I'm doing the same shit I was doing as
he's
Superman.
He's still suave. He's still morose. He's still, I don't know the definition of the word morose, but he's probably that. But he's
ask
like
Ben
real
Affleck.
Low-key. What?
I said ask Ben Affleck.
He's real low-key and just too cool to be here, pretty much.
Yeah, there's no difference between those two characters. I mean, ideally, there should be a difference between Bruce Wayne and Batman. Maybe there was a little bit. I don't know. But certainly there should be a difference between mild-mannered Clark Kent and the Man of Steel. And there is none.
There isn't.
And he's awful.
I don't like Henry Cavill. I don't think I've liked him in anything I've seen him in. I'm willing to kind of give him a pass on this because I don't think it's his fault. I think this is just Snyder Superman, and it's terrible. Like, he's not given anything to do.
he's not given anything to do, but I still think that I'm not expecting great moments out of Clark Kent. Whatever dialogue he has, I just still think it can be delivered in a way that makes a clear separation between those characters.
Brandon Routh was great. Even yeah. Brandon Routh was a great Clark Kent.
His was much better, but I'm always going to compare it to what Reeve did. Because he made them two separate characters, not in just the way they talked, but the way they walked, everything. He was one actor playing two disparate characters. Yeah. Henry Cavill is like, I've got glasses on, I've got cape on. That's it. I can do the same shit. I can talk the same way. I don't even like Superman. But if I were a fan of that character, I would think that I'd have a giant problem with the way he's just really only playing one half of that character.
Yeah, and even the half he's playing, he's not doing well. Like, Superman's supposed to be this beacon of hope and this thing that makes you want to be better. He's almost... like you're making him eat his broccoli. Broccoli is a bad excuse because it's delicious, or a bad example because it's delicious. But he's almost like a kid that you're making take out the trash. Like, he's just doing it because he feels like he's obligated to. And there's none of that feeling that, like, Superman is doing this because that's what he feels is right. Like, there's none of that.
Which I guess is the whole...
He turned Superman kind of into Dr. Manhattan, to where he's just blank to everything.
I do think there is a lot to that. And it seems like... the only really pressure he came under was in this movie, and he folded to it rather quickly, where there was no consideration. He's always just doing the right thing in Man of Steel, and he's doing it happily. And then we get to this movie, and he's just kind of moping around, I guess.
He's not heroic in this movie at all.
Not really, I guess, until the very end. And at that point, he's, I guess, stops moping around. But as much as I don't like Henry Cavill, and I've never liked him, when I first saw the movie... I had a much different opinion of Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. I almost kind of liked it, but the more I watch it, my opinion keeps going down. I think the material he has to work with is actually great. It's the best material anybody has in the movie to work with. I'm just not in love with how seemingly off the rails his Lex Luthor is. I think he has got a lot of speeches, some of them to Senator Finch and the party guests, and even some to the heroes at the end. It always seems like he's a half second from just completely unraveling. And I think of Lex Luthor as this cold, calculating, always completely in control Luthor that, you know, we've seen from Kevin Spacey, I thought was great in that. That movie was garbage, but he was great in that. And I don't understand what his motive is in this movie.
There's nobody. Nobody's motivation in this movie. But like,
I think I get Batman. Superman's dangerous.
Yeah, I don't think it's driven at home as well as it should be, but Lex Luthor makes no sense in this movie. Why is he so hell-bent on killing Superman?
Superman and or Batman?
Yeah, like, what is he doing? And Lex Luthor is always up to these evil plans, and Superman is in his way. So that's why he wants to get rid of Superman, because Superman is... preventing him from doing these evil plans. What's Lex Luthor's evil plan in this movie? Kill Superman and Batman. Why? Oh, why not?
It almost seems like by the end of the movie specifically, he's just a lackey for some bad guy to be named later.
Yeah, I hate that Lex Luthor, in the first movie he's in this universe, he's in prison at the end of it. Lex Luthor is this great villain that the outside world doesn't know he's a villain. Well... this analogy loses its luster this year, but like, he wins presidency at some point. Like, he's enough of a person and a public figure that people view him as that. And for him to just be this multimillionaire now who's just all of a sudden in prison for this big elaborate plot, which he has long hair in the climax and then all of a sudden he's bald in prison.
They show them cutting.
Why? Why are they shaving his head to go to prison?
Because Lex Luthor's bald in the whole movie. One of my buddies who does not really do movies or comic books, he saw Jesse Eisenberg. He's like, why does Lex Luthor have hair in this? He's like, why does he have long hair? And then I didn't say anything. By the time we get to the end of the movie, he's like, oh, okay, that's why he's bald. Because they shave your head in prison.
Yeah, because that's something they do.
And that's why he's always been bald. I mean, whatever.
But I just, this is another thing. Like, you're set up perfect. Why isn't Lex Luthor this confident businessman who sees his way to... weaponize the wreckage and weaponize kryptonite and working with Zod's corpse and in that puddle can deteriorate him mentally, and he starts to lose hair over time. Like, that's motivation. Like, that's cause and effect. He's so obsessed with using this to turn a buck, and in the process, he's losing his sanity, he's losing his hair. That's all set up. You have that easy transition. No, let's just shave his head in prison.
Let's make him crazy from the beginning, and then we'll shave his head at the end of the movie. So it's like, oh, now this character is, from a visual standpoint, where you expect him to be, and now there's a reason for it. Aren't I clever?
Because his motivation makes no sense.
There isn't any. I mean, there is.
Well, yeah,
honestly,
that's what I mean. It's like you have no idea why he's doing any of this.
No.
And what's LexCorp do?
I don't know. I mean, maybe they make weapons.
You don't know. You know he's rich.
If the motivation is to kill Superman, and you're gonna create Doomsday anyway, why even involve Batman?
Yeah, Batman's over in Gotham, minding his own business.
Yes.
What's it matter?
And once you create Doomsday, if you kill Superman using Doomsday...
You just have Doomsday loose now. You can't do anything about that.
Right. Ostensibly, he'd kill Batman, too, even if he had some measure of control over Doomsday, which maybe he thought he did,
well, it's
or maybe
like
he
the,
did.
It's like the old...
Because it came from my blood. Blood of my blood.
The old evil villain cliche, like, oh, I want to destroy the world. Well, why? You live on this world.
Right.
Well, I want to release Doomsday. Well, why? He's going to kill everything if there's nobody there to stop him.
But there again, maybe him being a foot soldier for Darkseid or whoever, that was just all, that was all part of the plot. I don't know.
Yeah, and here's the thing. This is why the beginning of the movie bothers me so much. It's because everybody going into that movie knows Batman's origins. My 18-month-old knows Batman's origins. Everybody knows why Batman is Batman. So why do you need to show it and then insult us through the rest of the movie where this movie... Everybody seems to know what's going on at all times. Everybody knows everything.
Except the audience.
Except the audience. Because he treats us like we're one of these characters that knows everything that's going on. People walk in mid-conversation and be caught up completely. Lois Lane walks in with the, why are you saying that? She comes out of nowhere. That's his mother's name. Bitch, how did you hear that? You just got here. Everybody knows everything that's going on. Clark Kent meets Bruce Wayne. Oh, I have to get his opinion on the Batman with this accusing tone. Why? You have no reason to suspect that Bruce Wayne is the Batman. Zero reason. But yet you're talking to him like you know he is Batman. The whole movie is like that.
You're right. It is never explained that Lex Luthor knows Bruce Wayne is Batman, knows Clark Kent is Superman, knows Diana is Wonder Woman,
knows Martha Wayne is Superman's mom, knows Lois Lane is
knows everything,
or Martha Kent, whatever.
My mom's name is Martha too.
We'll get to that. There's so much other stuff to complain about, though. You know what this movie feels like?
What is this?
A YouTube
dumpster fire?
A YouTube playlist where you have all these 8 to 9 minute videos that are kind of related. You kind of understand why they're grouped together, but you don't understand why you're watching them in that order because somebody just put that playlist together. That's what it feels like, because you go from one thought to a completely different thought in the matter of seconds.
When we started this podcast, as happens in many podcasts, when you start talking, I start thinking about Shakespeare. Like, this movie, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. That's... From Macbeth, it may as well have been from Batman versus Superman. Because like you said, Snyder almost goes out of his way to like try and tell you or convince you that this movie is this epic work. Dream sequences that are crazy. They don't make any sense. Even
Batman's,
to somebody who knows about
Batman's
comics.
Looking at a screen. He's watching a screen. He's not dozing off. Then all
He's
of a sudden we're in a dream sequence. He's wide-eyed looking at this dream sequence. What? How is that natural progression?
The symbolism of Batman literally rising up at the beginning where his origin story is in the tornado of bats. Like, this just crazy, balls crazy symbolism that doesn't mean as much as he thinks it does.
No, the shots of Superman, the...
The guys standing in one place majestically. It's like a lens flash.
I always talk about movies, and I mention moments. Like, you have to hit moments right. And if there's two or three moments that you have to hit, if you hit those few moments, the rest of the movie will benefit from it. Zack Snyder almost feels like he tries to make a movie that's all moments. Like, he tries to make every scene be this most impactful, momentous occasion, and then none of them hit. You bomb the Capitol, and it's being watched around the world, and you can't hit that scene. Even Superman showing up there. I think back to Another Earth, where this is this moment that people are watching live on TV. In that movie, that moment hits. That moment feels awesome. In this, it doesn't. You see all this stuff, and there's no reaction to anything. Like, they seem to get over the Capitol pretty quickly. Like, this big-time super millionaire going to jail seems to not matter. Like, nothing matters. And then you have the whole terrorist subplot. Like, what? Why? It feels like there's five different movies that are each, like, 30 minutes long, and they're just pieces of them are just cut together here. None of it makes any sense. Why do we have to send Lois Lane to the desert to kill Jimmy Olsen for no reason? That just shows Snyder doesn't care about any of this. He doesn't care about any characters. You look at the Marvel Universe. You have small characters from the comics show up in random spots in the movie, and they're treated with respect. The smallest of the smallest characters treated with respect. And then you have, in the first movie, Jimmy Olsen is now Jenny Olsen, which, whatever. I'm fine with that. Right. If you want to gender swap him, fine. But then the second movie, you have Jimmy Olsen just get killed unceremoniously. This big-time player in Superman mythology just dead. You've thrown out Ferris. Like, you're just throwing out names. And that's all they are to him, is name. These DC characters are just names to Snyder. They're not characters that he cares about. There's not anything that he has passion about doing justice. And none of it makes any sense. Like, there's no reason for the terrorist subplot. She doesn't need to go to the desert. You can set up everything you're doing without getting this convoluted conspiracy theory. Like,
it's convoluted.
Why?
The idea that, okay, you want to portray Superman as this guy who will intervene in a foreign country just to save Lois Lane. He acts unilaterally. He's dangerous. He can't be controlled. Well, you know what else depicted that? The fucking first 20 minutes of the movie where basically Metropolis is razed. That's fine. That shows that Superman can't be controlled. We don't need the desert scene. It's needlessly convoluted.
And the montages, like, and this is where it doesn't make any sense. You're at the party. Clark Kent looks at the TV and there's something going on in, like, Rio. Then all of a sudden he's saving people in Rio.
I think that was Mexico.
Oh, yeah, the Day of the Dead Festival.
Si. Dia de los Muertos.
And then Wayne's back still at the party. Like, there's no concept of time. There's no concept of sense or logic or characters. Like, nobody
But wasn't
mattered.
That scene with Superman engulfed in that massive humanity that were worshiping him like a god?
While they're wearing masks.
Right. Wasn't that just such a symbol of this man being a god? And that's what the whole movie is about.
Zack Snyder cares about making things that are cool. Doesn't care about good. Doesn't care about anything other than, does this look cool? Is this cool? Look at his filmography. That's what it is. Dawn of the Dead. The original, one of the most political movies.
It did make a statement.
It made a statement.
Yeah.
The remake, it's watchable.
Yes.
It's cool. It's
of his
cool,
movies?
It's a cool zombie
it's
movie.
It's the Citizen Kane of Zack Snyder movies.
Oh, yeah. It's cool. Is it as impactful as
no.
Romero's? No. 300. What's,
it's cool
it's
looking.
It's cool looking. Watchmen sucks.
Yeah.
He tried to make it cool. Sucker Punch. Ooh, cool. Girls in short skirts blowing up stuff and kicking things. That's cool. Or it's supposed to be. Like, that's all he cares about, is he wants to make cool stuff. And the fact that he was already signed on for two... Man of Steel was not a success. Man of Steel made money. But there was no rush to make a Man of Steel 2. Man of Steel was not a big enough hit that Man of Steel 2 would stand on its own.
Right.
So why, when you introduce Batman into it, do you bring back the same director and not just have him do that, hand him two Justice League movies from here? And we haven't even got into that. That is the biggest waste of this entire movie. It's not needed. Nothing is needed. I don't need to see Lex Luthor's design skills coming up with
their
with
logos
for these guys. The Flash cameo made zero sense. Even as somebody who watches comics and knows comics, makes zero sense. What he said had nothing to do with anybody. Lois Lane's the key. Where was that relevant to any of Batman's story? None.
Maybe it's not None. Relevant for this movie. The Flash thing, it was great watching this movie with Sarah. We watched the Flash show. She likes the Flash. She likes Barry Allen.
Next to Batman, Flash is one of my favorite.
She had absolutely no clue that was the Flash. And why would you? Because he looks like a goddamn cyborg.
He comes out of nowhere, and it doesn't make sense. What he says isn't relevant. The trailer for The Mummy came out earlier this month, and that's supposed to kickstart this Universal franchise, yeah. Right?
Or this UU. The Universal Universe, yeah. The UU.
Alex Kurtzman gave a talk saying, like, Marvel did it. Marvel made Iron Man. Right. Iron Man is a great
on its own
standalone movie. And then you have Nick in there that's like, can lead to something bigger. Captain America, a great movie on its own with a tease for more to come.
And that's Thor was a movie.
Yes. And Kurtzman says, like, before we get into that, we have to make a good mummy movie.
Right.
Yes, we can tease things that will be relevant later if we get there. But if nobody likes the mummy, we don't get there. That logic is completely thrown out the window here because you're not even making a good Batman Superman movie. We haven't had a good Superman movie. We haven't even had a Batman movie. Now you want to introduce the Flash, who nobody in this universe knows who that is.
Except for Lex Luthor.
Yeah, and try to throw Cyborg. And I thought Wonder Woman was dealt with okay. But the rest of it made no sense. And to go right into a Justice League movie with the same director, I mean, they've already scaled back and said, oh, this is one Justice League movie. I mean, I guarantee he's done after Justice League. And the fact that Justice League was filming right before Batman Superman came out, I think they were too deep. But I have no sympathy because they did that to themselves.
Yes.
Everything.
After Man of Steel, that should have been their warning.
I get. Okay. Give him Man of Steel. See what he could do. I do not fault them for that. It did not work.
It did not.
You cannot build this extended universe off of that movie. So they gave him the franchise. They gave him the universe. Just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
When you look at Batman versus Superman and Suicide Squad, which in fairness to Snyder, that was not his fault. They both earn very similar numbers, about $20 million difference. And when we're talking about $350 and $330, $20 million it's pretty close. Is that just the cap for a DC movie? Do you imagine that Justice League, with these same three stars, with the same director, is adding The Flash or Cyborg or Aquaman to the mix gonna make that movie any more appealing?
No, I think it tops off at the same. It may hit four.
Does a standalone Wonder Woman create enough new fans to make this movie make $400 million?
No. I think they've peaked already.
Exactly. And so why are we
you know why?
Go through this exercise.
And I hate to compare them to Marvel, but to Marvel, reviews matter. What people think matters. They don't want a $200 million opening and then completely
and then
fall off.
$75 million the next week.
Yeah, they don't want a $200 million opening for a movie that maxes out at $270. Like, that doesn't fly for them. They want it to hit. Obviously, they want the money. But their formula to do that is to make people like it and make it well-reviewed enough. Whereas the DC movies aren't. They know they're going to make this big opening. You know, you have Will Smith, you have the Joker.
Right.
You're going to make money that first weekend. You have Batman, you have Superman. You're going to make money that first weekend. That's their formula. And
they trick people the first weekend, but that's going to run out.
Exactly. You're going to play that card too many times. And there's rumor that the studio knew there were problems with that script, that they knew there were Suicide Squad problems with that script. And they let them go because they know they're going to make that money. There's rumor that there's problems with the Batman script, but that they're not interested in fixing it because they know it'll make money. But you're not doing any favors that way because, okay, you know a Batman movie is going to make money. Imagine how much money a good Batman movie makes. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them in the top 10.
Right. Make $230 million more.
If Star Wars came out last year, if J.J. Abrams and Lucasfilm and everybody in Disney was all interested in Star Wars Episode 7, we will break the weekend record, opening record. 8 will do okay. 9 will probably be okay. If they took that mentality, they'd have broke the record still.
Right.
But they also set out to, let's make a good movie.
Yeah.
And they did.
And they did. And not only is 8 going to break the opening record, 9 probably will too. And we're going to get extra billions of dollars from the spinoff movies, which now people care about because they had
that
a good
one. Right. It's the brand. You've established a brand.
If Dawn of Justice would have been The Force Awakens, people would give a shit about Wonder Woman. They would give a shit about, ooh, who's this cyborg guy? He looks awesome.
Can't wait for his solo movie in 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll never happen.
Probably not. I mentioned earlier, like, what is the point in this exercise? I think they see how much Marvel makes and they think, well, we're a comic book company. We've got characters that people like. We're entitled to make that same money too, but they're not working for it. And if they're not going to change their strategy, how is the outcome going to change?
And here's what kills me is Doctor Strange was the 14th, I believe. And then you have Guardians of the Galaxy, which you know is going to be a hit. Thor 3, I think, is maybe the only question mark, but it's going to be a hit.
I think it'll be good.
I think it'll be great.
It'll be my favorite
movie. I'm talking from a box office standpoint. Yeah. Like, they're 14 movies in, and the question is, when are they going to have a miss? Yep. Like, they're going to have to. It's inevitable. DC was one movie in, and it's like, oh, maybe the next one will fix it. And then they're two movies in. It's like, oh, Justice League will write the ship.
Yeah.
Or Wonder Woman will write the ship. Like, how are you 14 movies deep, and people are still waiting for you to fail, and you're two movies deep, and people are just waiting for you to succeed?
Hoping that you can do anything right.
Yeah.
You look at Marvel basically owning the tentpole superhero market. You can make the argument that, okay, well, you know, Deadpool did really well. Yes. That's the exception to the rule, that that's not an MCU movie and it made a ton of money. But that movie was done well, too. But if there is a big superhero release that Batman was at one point, we mentioned it's 20% of the top 10 movies of all time. It seems like the other 8 are Star Wars or Marvel movies. But how much real estate is there left for this set of heroes? Does it make sense to keep throwing $250 million in production money? Batman vs. Superman had to gross $1 billion to turn a profit.
Because here's the
thing. It did not.
Their logic makes sense if you're making
good movies.
Deadpool type movies where they're spending like $40 to $60 million. If you can turn a $40 to $60 million, hell, even $80 million movie into $350 million, that's a formula. You're turning $150 to $250 million movies into $330 to $350 million movies. That's not a winning formula.
No, it isn't. They're not doing the tentpole stuff right.
And they're not willing to learn, it doesn't seem.
They're not willing to learn, and I also don't think that they're willing to just take a look at what everyone else is doing and just punt. What I mean by that is a lot of these franchises are doing things on a smaller scale. X-Men is doing the Legion show with Dan Stevens on FX. And they're talking about doing a soft reboot with a younger, cheaper cast moving forward.
Like they did with First Class, and then they ruined it.
Yeah, they're just going to redo that again. And they're kind of, okay, well, let's try this TV thing and see what happens. Marvel's been pretty successful on Netflix, if not necessarily ABC. But I think the best ROI the DC Universe has right now is on little tiny, still technically network television with the CW. Arrow, The Flash, and Supergirl, and throw That's Legends of Tomorrow. I think one time during this past season, The Flash was actually the third highest rated program in its time slot, which is ridiculous for the scene. It beat ABC. Whatever garbage was on ABC at that point. That shit is working. They moved Supergirl from the big network to the littler one because, gosh, it really doesn't have the viewership to warrant these high production costs. So on the TV side, they knew, let's downsize it, put it on CW, and it'll be successful.
The difference, though, is if you watch The Flash, The Flash is the only one of them that I watch. You can tell that the people involved care about these characters. Yes, it's not 100% true to the comic, but they care about the characters. Nobody's a throwaway character. Arrow, they dig deep into the DC mythology. There's characters I've seen that have been on Arrow that it's like, that's pretty cool that they're bringing those to TV. That's cool. They care about the characters. Kevin Feige has always said, like, it's the source material. Like, people care about Spider-Man because they care about Spider-Man. They don't care about just a dude flying around being a spider in the air. Like, they care about Spider-Man. So you have to stay true to that. You have to give them enough of what they've grown to love already and then put your own thing on it. Whereas this Superman isn't the Superman that anybody knows or loves. This Batman isn't the Batman that anybody knows or loves. He didn't have enough time to ruin Wonder Woman. Flash, I hate, just from the trailer and him the in concept. This movie, I hate the look and the feel of this Flash character. And we didn't even get to Martha. Probably the most unintentionally comedic scene in any movie I've ever seen. Like, that is probably, I get that we talked about, like, oh, movies like Nine Lives or Exodus and stuff like that are worse. I don't know that I've ever seen a worse scene in a climax in any movie ever than the Martha scene. That is the stupidest, most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
These characters, the way they're treating them, they can bond that they're both their mothers have the same name and
that's
Batman
it.
Doesn't want Superman's mom to die the same way his does. I guess that might resonate with Bruce Wayne, who's never quite recovered from having his parents killed. But these characters do mean so much to people, and by consistently whiffing on them, I think that the only way they're really going to get away with ever rescuing the way people view their product now is by rebooting again. I'm not sure that they could do it in a movie in 3 years. The stink is still there. 5 years. Stink is still there. Batman and Superman both had very successful runs on television. And I just think that that would make a lot of sense to do. Gotham is skating around a Batman TV show, but it could be done. I don't think they want to do it because that would be admitting failure, their own failure at having Superman and Batman in a movie and not being able to beat Peter Quill, Drax the Destroyer, and a talking tree.
To me, it all comes down to Snyder, because Snyder doesn't know emotion. He has no idea how to convey emotion in film. That Martha scene, I get what they
were
trying
to... What
did
you say her name? You mean that's not emotion?
No, you take a movie called Batman versus Superman, and you kill Superman, and it doesn't matter.
Sort of.
At no point does
it... They don't even commit to that.
No, at no point does it feel like it matters, mostly because he's already announced he's in Justice League. You're putting up set photos from Justice League where Henry Cavill is there. But even without all that...
Even in the movie, they're like, he's okay. Don't worry about it, guys.
There's no emotion to it whatsoever. Like, you killed one of the two characters headlining the movie, and it doesn't matter. Like, nobody cares. Nobody cares about anybody that dies in this movie. Like, it just doesn't matter. There's no emotional stakes at all in this movie.
Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. I'm pretty sure that's what William Shakespeare, when he wrote that line, he was doing it very Barry Allen-like. He wasn't talking about...
And sure, if you translate it from the original language it was written in, because Shakespeare was Latin,
it comes out
to fuck Snyder.
He was Latin?
I don't know.
No, he was English.
Yeah, whatever.
But at any rate, translated from English...
Translated into fuck Zack Snyder.
Fuck Zack Snyder, indeed.
Capitalize the third letter of every three letters it spells out fuck Zack Snyder in every Shakespeare play over and over and over.
I think we've just Da Vinci coded Shakespeare somehow, the Latin Bill Shakespeare, Shakespeareo, I guess. If you've hated Batman versus Superman the way we have, feel free to let us know. If you like the movie.
I could keep going.
Yeah, I know.
Could.
Like, I could too, but I would really like to maybe cauterize this wound and turn the page to 2017, I guess before we officially turn the page, we can't leave 2016 on a bad note. So next week, I think we're going to run down we usually do top 10 for the movie, each top 10 for the year, right?
It's changed.
Mm-hmm.
We used to each do a top 10,
yeah.
And then I think the last couple of years we've done like top 15 of like a collective.
Yeah, because we do tend to have some crossover.
Yeah, so I think we just started like putting ours together and just kind of making a 15. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't listen to the how do we, if you listen to the show.
If you can remember way back to January of 2016, let us know how we did it. Let us know pretty soon because we're going to be recording that episode right quick. But yeah, we're going to at least go positive for 2016 because it was actually, I think, a pretty decent year for movies. So we'll give it the respect.
The movies
it,
I like, I really, really
right,
like.
Yeah. So
we'll
give
this it, wasn't one of them.
No.
Spoiler alert.
That's yeah. That's
I don't know if I made it
become
clear.
Apparent. So we will give 2016 the respect that it deserves before we turn our attention to 2017. We'll give you our top whatever movies of 2016. Let us know what you liked. If for whatever reason it doesn't make our list, that's probably because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen everything from last year, but if there is something that's awfully good that we missed, let us know. Maybe we'll see it before we get to our list, but probably not. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can interact with us via the Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup, or on the Twitter, @moviesonup. So that's as negative as we're going to be for a while. Next week, it's all positive. But until then,
keep it up.